Things seem to be in a period of stasis right now. Got through a lot this week, internally, and feeling a lot better for it. On the podcast this week, my emotions about being functionally monogamous, and the second part of my interview with the lovely poly couple I met through SPLA, who are onto their 15th year of marriage with 4 kids, all within a loving, committed, non-monogamous relationship. It's my unconventional life, etc., etc. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? I had a couple of dreams earlier this week that unusually seemed to stick with me for the rest of the day. In the first, I was about to have sex with someone I'd been with before and felt comfortable with, but as soon as I put my cock inside her, I stopped abruptly and was like, "Ah, I'm not allowed to do this anymore." And it stuck with me perhaps because it really seemed to present a conflict with my relatively recent decision to be non-monogamous, at least while Ari and I are trying to have a baby and build our core relationship. And I still see the value in that. But it also made me cognizant that I am still authentically non-monogamous to my core. And part of what drew me to Ari in the first place was her willingness to accept that about me. We did talk about it a few times this week, and Ari reiterated that I was under no obligation to be monogamous, that I should do whatever makes me happiest. And it wasn't one of those passive-aggressive things people sometimes say. It was genuine. But it also came with the realization that to be with anyone else, even just making out, would likely upset her. And I don't want to do that. But also that whether it's right or wrong, if I did something with someone else, she would probably do the same. Not out of spite or revenge, but just because in that moment it would make her feel better. So there's that too. So I started to think that when or if we do open up our relationship again, it's really more about whether I'm okay with her being with someone else, as much as vice versa. Which leads me to my second dream. I dreamt about having a threesome with Ari. And I woke up feeling, perhaps more strongly than the first dream, that I wanted that too. Now, Ari is certainly more open to this sooner rather than later, and when we've discussed it, it has been with an eye to taking a small step towards opening up, rather than jumping right in, and I guess that makes sense. And again, it is that side of her that drew me toward a more romantic relationship with her too. There are, of course, a lot of things to consider with that. I think I mentioned the somewhat conflicted idea of who it would be with. Someone we knew and cared about, or a relative stranger, which really comes down to how we view the experience. For her, it would be something that we would experience together like a play toy or something. Certainly not a new relationship. I talked with a good friend about the dilemma this week, and she felt the same way that Ari did. Especially because if it was with someone we knew and cared about, it could make things a little awkward. And then there's always the option of doing it again with someone we didn't know very well, if it naturally feels right. So I guess I'm kind of coming around to seeing it that way. But again, like all of this, the fact that we can talk openly about our feelings without judgment is so fucking wonderful. And one of the things that I truly love about our relationship. There were a few other issues that cropped up recently too that I think are probably artifacts of us spending so much time together. Just conflicts in our personalities and worldviews and as much how we express them. Yeah, it got a little awkward at points, but she brought up her resulting feelings. I did my best to not react to them in a negative way, and we kind of found a way to talk them through. I actually wrote her a long email about everything. My friend has suggested that too, having experienced that writing it all down not only makes it clearer in your head, but also allows you to get it all out without someone interrupting or you feeling anxious or scared and unable to really find the words. It was great fucking advice. And it helped so much. It's like, in a lot of ways, it's keeping feelings inside that really is the burden. Once they're out, yes, they can hurt and offend sometimes, but then it dissipates and finds a natural course. I guess that's where you get the phrase, the truth will set you free. But there's also value in realizing how feelings change. Listen to how many emotions I've had over the past month or so that have come and gone. Now, that doesn't mean they're not valid, just that we shouldn't place any life-changing decisions on them right away. Sit with them for a while. Process them. See how valid long-term they really are. I mean, we've had millions of years of evolution as hunter-gatherers in tribes, but only a few hundred as separate, truly open, conscientious, self-aware, highly socially interactive people. It's going to take some figuring out. And I do feel that Aerie and I are going to do that. Doesn't look probable she's pregnant this week, but we're not going to worry about it too much. It usually happens when you let go and let nature take its course. And I'm reminded of my determinist worldview anyway, that everything is already written and predetermined. So just relax and enjoy reading the book. The interview this week, then, is the second part of my interview with Melissa and Wayne. They are a lovely couple I wanted to interview for a long time now, since I first met them and saw the loving connection and rapport that they have together. They really open up and share in the interview about their relationship and difficult things they've had to overcome as they've opened up their marriage. And they do so with an eye to helping other people who may listen and who are perhaps experiencing similar things. And I think sharing their experiences can help so much, just to hear their love and their commitment to be together as partners in a non-monogamous relationship. It was really inspiring to me before Aerie and I decided to be at least functionally monogamous. But even now, it inspires me to know that you can make that commitment to someone, to having a family, and still be able to be authentically yourself. I don't have 2 years to build this strong foundation to then have a kid.
Yeah.
And so do I go, you know what, you're going to have a kid now and focus on that? Or do I go, you can do both at the same time? Because my goal originally was to have a parenting partner who was a platonic friend and to have a non-monogamous relationship with someone else. And they were different things. Because I was fearful that if this one didn't work out and I was having a kid with her, then it was going to play havoc. So I wanted to keep these two things separate. But for whatever reason, you know, and I'm not second guessing it.
Right.
I'm perfectly okay with the fact that to all intents and purposes, I've fallen in love. Mm-hmm. And people said to me, what happens if you fall in love? Oh my God, it will be disastrous. Not really. You know, I mean, I feel vulnerable. I feel scared because I don't have that basis yet that you guys have. But I guess that's the question. Do you think I can do both at the same time? Can I sort of develop a romantic relationship and a parenting relationship at the same time? Or should I focus on one or the other? What do you think?
I think it's too late to focus on one or the other. It's all happening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think you have a choice to do them
well,
both.
I kind of do, though. I can say I can put the brakes on the romantic sexual side of things and say, let's just focus on having a baby and being parents and starting a family, not so much the sexual side of things. I mean, I could do that. I don't know. I mean, part of me goes, I'm 41 years old.
Right.
I'm going to be dead soon. Like, I don't want to wait forever. Like, carpe diem, seize the day. You know, fortune favors the bold, all these sort of cliches.
I guess I would fear at that point, if I've already started to develop feelings, I would wonder how their feelings are. And if I would try to pull back, how would that affect them? And then now have to worry about it affecting the co-parenting aspect of
That's smart. And, and you, I think you're 100% right. I think it's like Pandora's box. It's being opened now and you can't close it.
Right. Hence, it's kind of, you're there now. So
And it's probably not a terrible thing. I mean, I'm risk averse. I try to avoid risk as much as I possibly can. And in some ways that's good, but in some ways it's bad. And I think I could probably do with taking some risks, calculated risks. And, and oftentimes in life that involves trusting other people, right?
Being vulnerable,
But you guys are, I think, a great example of being able to do that, right? I mean, you talked about the idea that no matter how many issues and arguments, and not that you've had a lot of arguments, but any kind of these conflicts that you've had, there was never a moment where you ever thought, well, maybe we're not the right people for each other. Yeah. Like, there was never any doubt there. Yeah. And that's a profound thing. I mean, I don't know many people who could honestly say that. I know a lot of people who would say it, especially in normal traditional relationships, that say, oh, I'm never attracted to anybody else, and they lie about it.
Yeah.
But very few people, I think, truly have that bond. So do you guys believe in soulmates? Do you think that's it? Do you think the stars aligned on that night in that Hollywood club?
Yeah. See, my thing about soulmates, like, what would make me so bold or whatever to say, like what would make me believe that me being living here in this state, out of any place I could have ever lived, and then me finding the one person for me?
Yeah.
Because I've lived so many places. And, and like I told her, I was married before. You know, So I've met somebody before who I feel like, oh my gosh, this is the one for me. And I saw her one time and I was like, oh, and then I ended up, you know, kind of like me and her story, you know.
Oh,
I saw the same story.
I saw her one time and
there's a pattern here.
We talked about it. So then, you know, a couple weeks later, just so happened to a friend of mine introduced me to her and we got married, you know. So, and I've lived in so many different countries and everything. So again, to believe that all the places I could ever live, just one place is a soulmate.
Yeah.
I just believe that where you are in your life at that moment, you attract certain people.
Yeah.
You know, and they come to your life for a reason. And if you're open to certain things, and you're inviting things in, and that can be a successful thing. And when I met her, I knew what I was looking for already. So she had already represented everything I had already wanted. And so when I knew what I wanted, it was just her figuring out what she wanted.
Yeah.
And once she figured it out, once she decided that she wanted to be with me as well, then we were able to move forward. And I knew that once we got together and we established a certain type of relationship, I knew that I never wanted to be without her. I can look back on the relationships I had been in and realize that this is the one that I want to be with and don't want to be without. And I told her, I said, it's never going to be me who would ever say I want to, no matter what you could ever think you can do to me, I'm never going to want to leave you. I'm always going to be with you. So no matter what happens, I'm not leaving.
We just had a conversation today. What did you ask me? You said, real talk. What did you say? You said, it was something about falling in love with somebody else.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I just asked her, if I would fall in love with somebody else, what would that do for you? Yeah.
How would I handle that?
Yeah.
You know, like, would I want to leave him?
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, no. I feel like if you fall in love with somebody else, I'd be like, well, damn, we got to make this shit work because I'm not going anywhere.
Wow.
And he said, well, what if you fall in love with somebody else and you just want to leave? And I said, no, I feel the same. And it's like, no, I. But I'm not saying that I think that I would. But
yeah.
Right.
I guess maybe that's kind of our fear.
Yeah, but it's
when we didn't mention, well, you know, we didn't clarify this in our story, but we kind of started off in the swinging community, and then just kind of gradually things changed little by little without labels. And
right. Do we really believe that one of us will leave one another? No.
Mm.
Right. But you know, sometimes as humans, we need that reassurance, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whatever vulnerable place, because we all have that moment where we're feeling vulnerable or not our best. And we feel like, oh, woe is me type, you know, and so we just need that validation. But at the same time, I don't believe that she is going anywhere. And she knows that I reassure her all the time that she knows that no matter what, I can imagine me going anywhere as well.
And I know you hate this. Well, I don't know if you hate this, but and if he did, you know, and if you did, I mean, you might feel different, but if he did go somewhere, I just feel like it's not going to be the end of our lives. We're always going to be in each other's lives and connected to each other. I know you don't want to.
No,
what the hell? What is she talking about? But I guess what I'm saying is, we worry so much about something. That, I mean, it's not necessary. There is no situation going on where we feel like it really happened.
Yeah, because we know, we talk about impermanence. You know, we know that there's nothing is permanent.
I guess that's kind of where I was leading to.
We know that. We accept that. But outside of that, you know, we understand it. We don't foresee anything.
Ari and I talk about long-term plans, we almost have those same sort of conversations. But the difference is you guys have 14 years of experience to sort of back that up, whereas we don't. So a rational person would look at me and go, you're not in a position to make those sort of like commitments. But maybe we are. Maybe if you have a feeling.
I mean, we started once
we did it.
At 1 year and 2 years. I mean,
We did it at 6 months. We kind of knew. People were mad because we wouldn't label ourselves because we already knew. And even the fact of getting married, marriage is more so for everybody else because we knew what if we didn't get married, you have to get married for certain tax breaks, all kinds of stuff. But if not for all those things, like, we were good where we were. We know what we are to one another. Marriage doesn't change anything. People believe that marriage, it doesn't change anything.
Well, I think for a lot of people, it does.
For us, it didn't. It's just a title. It's just a label.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense for sure, yeah. So, that's good. Now, so, in the early days, you just went to clubs, etc., etc. But at some point, relatively recently, you decided to sort of open up a little more to try to date independently, right? Now, that's been, you tell me, a little more problematic, or?
It's definitely new territory.
Yeah. Now, where did that come from? I mean, was there a discussion, and did it come out of nowhere? Or did it just sort of gradually grow on one of you? Or tell me how that happened.
It didn't come out of nowhere. It came, I think, so...
From postpartum.
Yeah, well, that from probably postpartum. Right there. It came from the fact that Melissa was not feeling sexual.
Uh-huh. After the baby.
Yeah.
Okay, that's common.
The second child.
After the second child.
Yeah.
And it's common, and I just personally was dealing with a lot of other things, you know? I was trying to, like... I don't know. I felt like there was purpose in my life, but I was running away from it. And, you know, it was just a whole ordeal. But anyway, I was kind of dealing with things on my own, too. And I just was in a place where I just had no sexual desire. It was just, you know, it was the last thing that was on my mind.
Right.
And we kind of dealt with that for a while.
Yeah.
I was like up and down, up and down, here and there.
So what was that? How did that?
But then this last pregnancy,
we
just... said, like, okay, well, let's just open it up a little bit, and do you want to interject? I feel like you have something to say.
No.
I was like, you're giving me eyes. And so we just decided to kind of open it up and try that out. And at first, I wasn't really interested in it so much.
So you'd lost a lot of your libido, and because of that, the idea was that...
I felt like, I didn't want Wayne to have to suffer because didn't want sex. And for me... Go ahead. I feel like you're struggling with something.
In very similar situation.
Right. Well, she was dealing with some anxiety and some other things. And
that too.
And so when it first happened, I didn't understand. I'd never dealt with it before.
But you're going way back. He's talking about how do we
get there, though? You know, so I started feeling like, because I didn't know about it, I didn't understand it. So I started feeling like she didn't desire me. So I thought it was me personally.
Right.
You know, I felt like she didn't want me. But she was going through a depressive state. She even got on medication. So because of those things, I had never dealt with them. I never experienced them. Had never been with anybody. So honestly, I felt like it was towards me.
Right.
I thought that it was something I was doing or had done and that she didn't want me or desire me.
Yep.
But so she started feeling really bad and she was thinking that this was going to be the end of us. But I told her, don't matter what, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It was a rough time for her. You know? So
can I ask you, sorry to cut you off. Did you still have a desire for affection? Like, did you still want to be held and kissed?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I wanted to bring up. You remind me of something else. It's all confusing, Nigel, because there's 14 years here. And I think that I want to say that yes. But then with that, there was kind of those old resentments that we talked about mixed up.
At the same time, you felt a certain way about not wanting to even deal with the kids. So you did have that kind of feeling like you didn't want. Because you were just down at that time.
Yeah, but he's asking, I don't remember. The honest answer is I don't remember. Yeah. But he's asking if it was just sexual, right. you know, or yeah. intimate in general, right. like, did I not want to be held or...
Right.
Because...
And I don't think that it was also that I don't want it to be held or... Because I think it was just the sexual thing.
Mm. Right. Oftentimes, if a woman isn't feeling sexual and she's got no libido, she doesn't want to be held and or kissed because... That usually would lead into sex.
Oh, well, that, yes.
Right.
For that reason.
Right, absolutely.
But what I'm saying is that for myself, it's not that I didn't, but yes, we definitely went through that.
Mm.
Definitely went through that about, if I let him touch me, then
he's going to want to have sex.
For him, it always ended in sex.
Right, whereas I'm perfectly okay with just hugging and kissing and not having sex. I don't have a strong libido, so I'm all right with that. Mm. My concern is if Eri has a kid and loses her sexual libido and also doesn't want to be held or kissed and doesn't want any kind of affection at all, I don't want kids to see their parents not having that sort of affectionate relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope if I could say, look, it's okay. We don't have to have sex ever again. But I want to hug you. I don't want to kiss you. I want to tell you that I love you and I'm always going to be here for you. I would hope, even if she's in like some kind of mental issues going on from depression, she'd still be okay with that, right?
Yeah,
everyone wants to be held.
Everybody. Well, I don't know. Yeah,
times that she did definitely want to be held.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that. I'm trying to think if there were other ways that we. Expressed ourselves and expressed intimacy.
No, I would hold you while we would be in bed.
I know, but I'm asking, were there other ways that we would express intimacy, even if it wasn't through touch? The types of conversations that we have in front of our children. Yeah. You know, the types of things that we express to each other in front of our children. I get you, there is a specific physical part that you're talking about.
Well, when I told people in the past about my idea to have a platonic parenting partner, one of the things that people brought up was that kids need to see love between their parents. They need to learn how to express love to someone that they care about. And they always used to think that I wouldn't have that. But even if Eri and I were just platonic friends and having kids, I'd still hug her and kiss her because that's just the person I am. And I think when you have a kid with someone, at least when I have a kid with someone, I mean, I know people who've had kids and don't want anything to do with their kids. But maybe it comes from how they were raised or whatever else. But I do think that I'm always going to be that sort of way. And that's kind of why I want to be a parent as well. I always feel like it's a natural state for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've just waited a long time to do it because I never really felt like I was in the right place, you know. So.
Plus, we're affectionate with the kids, you know, give the kids hugs and all that kind of stuff. So they still get to see.
I see.
Even when she was feeling a certain way, I was still giving the kids hugs, whatever, because I, for whatever reason, she couldn't take care of them. I would definitely, and they would know, they would go in and tell her they love her and give her a kiss when I would just say, oh, you know, she's not feeling good.
Right, there's something to that. And, you know, my mum made a great point about single parents, that if kids have to see love between two parents to understand how to express love, then anybody with a single parent would never be able to do that. And that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, she knows loads of people who have single parents who are perfectly capable of expressing love. So maybe it is. Maybe it's the relationship between the parent and the child is just as important in terms of affection than the relationship between the two parents.
Yes. Well, and that kind of the way that you say you don't necessarily have to have sex, you're okay with, you know, cuddling and hugging and kissing. I mean, I guess I would say kind of similarly that expressing love, I mean, doesn't necessarily have to be physical, right? I mean, how else can we express love between each other? Eye contact, extra long gaze, something, you
respect.
Know. Respect. I mean, active listening.
Taking
you
care,
know,
doing things to help each
things
other.
Things like that, yeah.
That was the way my dad used to show love, you know. He'd like, take the trash out, or he'd make dinner for my mom, or all those sort of things. I didn't have to, I mean, he was very affectionate, you know. He'd like kiss her and like, spank her on the butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which at the time you're like, oh, Dad, stop it. You know what I mean? But in hindsight now, you see, wow, that's That's yeah,
but
learn.
I kind of agree with your mom, and then what you're saying together is like, yeah, I don't think so. You're, which was your concern that if you didn't have that physical connection, like showing love in a physical way, that that your child wouldn't
correct
learn?
Yeah,
that?
My concern was that once she'd had the kid, that maybe she would change what she wanted our relationship to be, and that would have a negative effect on the kid. Mm. Again, it comes back to the idea that a dissolution of a sexual relationship can play havoc on a parenting relationship.
Yeah. I feel like that kind of sounds similar to just what I was talking about, of me having these ideas of what a family needed to look like.
Yeah.
You know, what a father needed to look like, and you know, that I felt that Wayne had to do every single thing with us. And if he didn't, oh my gosh, our kids are going to, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Right.
You know.
Kids survive a lot of fucking difficult situations. And oftentimes we have the luxury now to go, what's the perfect situation to raise children? And if we're not doing this, oh my God, we've put tuna in their sandwiches. They're going to get brain cancer from mercury.
Yeah.
You know, this is a luxury we have nowadays that, 50 years ago, we just hoped they didn't get polio and lived to 18 years old.
Right.
It's a different world, you know what I mean? So sometimes I think we would do well to realize that we're really ahead of the curve and that kids are pretty resilient.
Yeah.
If you give them love and give them chance to make mistakes, but in a safe way, to know that you're always there to support them.
The fact that you're thinking about it ahead of time and you're, you know, aware and conscious of that concern, I think in itself is love.
Right. Good. Now, do you have any advice in terms of making babies? No, I know how it works, of course, but like, is there anything in terms of, I know a lot of people, I mean, and you were younger when you were having kids, of course. Eri is 38, I'm 41, and I have friends of similar ages who tried to have kids and had trouble for a long time. Mm. They tried IVF, et cetera, and they had, you know, they had a stopwatch when she was going to ovulate, et cetera, and became very almost robotic. Mm. Whereas with Eri and I, it's not. We're just saying we're just going to have fun and enjoy it, and hopefully she's pregnant now, but in your experience, was there anything that you think helped you get pregnant?
I don't think we're the right people for this question.
Why?
No, I don't think we ever had...
it came easy, huh?
It just kind of came.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, it came easy.
It like, did come easy.
We get afraid because we feel like, oh, are we pregnant?
Oh, you're still, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, of course, yeah. Do you talk about having other kids?
It's kind of like a, up in the air, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm done, but then there's a part of me that I think would like to have one more, but there's no space in our house. Yeah, there's really no.
So it's not, but.
It's not a no.
Yeah, it's open. Yeah.
Right.
There's a part of me that, the two older, well, the ones that I birthed, the two older boys, like, kind of had each other, and that seems really nice. And then the thought of
the baby,
and it's like, what's 8 years apart from the middle child is like, but I mean, what does that mean? I don't know. Maybe he's gonna be fine. It's just I don't know, there's a part of me that may want one more, and I don't know, but that might be a crazy thought. And two, there's a part of me just kind of, okay, I'm done being pregnant, and I want to move forward now, and my kids are getting older, and I want to kind of start that process of like, you know, and I'm going to school, and I have a lot coming up ahead.
Yeah.
So when
are you going to graduate?
I think maybe I have another year and a half. So practicum will start early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, then that journey of getting those 3,000 hours in and getting licensed. And
so you're going to be a counselor.
Marriage and family therapist is what I'm going to
say. But strongly moving towards this, going straight into the doctorate program.
My gosh.
It's just true.
Another child, doctorate program, like he has.
Yeah, he's got high hopes for you. Yeah, that's good.
I, Remember when she, early in the conversation, she was telling you that, she was trying to figure out her purpose in life, and she was having a hard time with that?
Yeah.
Well, I had been telling her for a long time that I feel like she's naturally a therapist. Like, that's just what she's been doing since, because at one point she has certain friends that I feel like, why are they your friends? And I realized because they're her friends because they come to her in times of need.
Right.
And she provides that service for them. Yeah. And she didn't realize it. And so now she's in school, and what do they tell her? You're natural at this. This is what you...
Oh, gosh.
I'm not saying anything they don't say. And she knows it.
Eri said the same thing tonight, actually. He said that you're just very comfortable to talk to, you know, and that's super important. I always felt like I'd be a good therapist as well. I always wanted to be a therapist.
I can see that.
Yeah. So can I.
But that would be interesting, though, for you to be a therapist and to be a counselor and to be in an open relationship, I think, has great value.
Well, that's kind of the value that I'm hoping to bank on when I do become a therapist. And, you know, to specialize in that, or at least promote myself in that way.
Right.
Because I know, I mean, we know a lot of people
that could use some help.
Well, that would like to go to a therapist and even have and completely left that part, their non-monogamous relationship part, out of the of going to therapy.
Because they're afraid to talk to the therapist and fear of judgment.
Yeah.
You know, fear of, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And so yeah.
That's fantastic. Right. So then getting back to the last year or two of actually dating independently, originally your libido had sort of lessened. So you said, okay, I know Wayne's got these needs and therefore go out and, you know. But now you're trying to go out as well, right?
Well, yes and no. No. Well, so yes, I mentioned the libido was down. Things have picked up. You know, it's still... This is what I was going to mention, or what I said I wanted to mention. I mean, I realized that I think in my head, again, I had this idea of what libido should look like, of what my sexuality should look like, you know. Just seeing other people, or at least what I thought I knew of them, and just realizing that it can't be fit into a little box, you know? Mm. And I think another thing that we realized about ourselves is that we looked at sex and sexuality different. And I think for Wayne, it was very much sex, physical intercourse, orgasming, like, you know? And, you know, for me, I realized that it wasn't like that,
right?
And that I could be okay with just touch, and I don't know, just flirting and that thing, you know, conversation, all of that stuff, and different ways of, you know, having sex, and it sounds so simple and like but it really was impactful for me, like to realize and figure that out for myself.
That was part two. Tune in next week for the third and final part, when we get more into the details of the struggles that people can go through when they open up their relationship to actually date independently.
My concern was, because I was feeling, if our sex life is a roller coaster or whatever, like, how am I supposed to feel comfortable if somebody else come in and be like, hey, you know, I met you. We have.
And I told him, okay, so then let me see you, like, once every 2 months.
Right.
And I'd jump your bones too.
and I get it. You know.
That's true. I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth. Another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Hello.